everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Booking the Territory Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, episode number 92 from October the 30th of 1993. We're back and as unprofessional as ever on the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, that is. And I'm sitting here. This is our back-to-back day, so episode 92. We just wrapped up 91. You're hearing this a week later, but whatever. Harper, how you doing, man? You got shit to do today?
Yeah, sure.
Me too, bro. Doc, what about you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm consuming some Icelandic yogurt.
And what did you say right before I hit the red light?
It's the official food of gentrification.
Which you I don't get the joke, but it's
funny. go down to Starbucks, you get you whatever it is they sell in a big cup, and you get yourself a little muffin and have some Icelandic yogurt. And push black people out of their poor properties.
Yeah, I don't go to Starbucks. I can't go to Starbucks, man.
I don't either.
Fuck that. I didn't do Starbucks before.
Dude, that's the biggest fucking...
work?
It's fucking coffee, bro.
I make a pot in my kitchen and I drink it. There you go.
For real, dude.
Store.
Now, like, every now and then, if I'm like... I gotta go. I'll stop at like Danny and Clyde's, which is like a gas station, to get a coffee for like $2. But dude, if you're paying $5-6 for a fucking cup of coffee
every day, Harper, that's the thing.
Every day, dude, that's a fucking meal. You got too much goddamn fucking money, motherfucker.
So become a patron.
give up one Starbucks a day and go to tinyurl.com/BTTpatron and you can become a patron. Get the world class episodes, get all the pre-show banter, podcast recaps that we do, just all kind of shit we do and talk about. We've got to be approaching 70 by the time this airs of just patron only content where we have a lot of fun. Sometimes we talk wrestling, sometimes we don't. Doc was mad because I actually, the very, very first patron episode we did was on the Dallas Cowboys ring rat house of the 90s, known as the White House for a shoot. It was called the White House. And Doc was mad because what I did was I went ahead and just said, fuck it. You know, we've got 70 patron episodes. I want people to hear what's out there on the patron side. So after it had been out for a while, I put it on YouTube as like a patron preview. And Doc goes, how does this shit only have 50 hits on it, or however many it had? It had more than that. The point is, it didn't have a lot of hits. I was like, I guess they're not interested in Dallas Cowboys ring rat house of the 80s, but or the 90s. The problem was, that episode was 100% shoot, and it was probably one of the better ones, but I don't know if people realize we weren't joking. We were really just telling a true story about the ring rat house in the 90s, right, Doc?
Well, people are disappointing in what they get and what they don't get anyway. So I've corrected my thinking on that. You can't count on people to understand anything.
Well, we've got episodes like the corny episode on YouTube's got like 15,000 hits and, you know, almost 20,000 hits at this point. So it's
stop
crazy.
Stop talking to me about the Cowboys and start talking to corny more so we can make some money.
I hear you. Well, we're into, again, Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode 92, October 30th, 1993, the day before Halloween. You know how some people complained how back in the day there was more wrestling on shows and not as much talking? Because, you know, people complain nowadays about how Raw starts off with a 20-minute promo, yada, yada, yada. Well, this show, a 49-minute, 56-second show without the commercials included, has less than 10 minutes of actually bell-to-bell wrestling.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. Because, Doc, what did you say a while back when we started doing the NWA shows about a year and a half ago?
I've realized that I don't really like wrestling. I just like to watch people shit talk.
It's kind of true. We enjoy the shit talk because that's what's the entertaining part of it. So, Harper, any thoughts before we jump into the intro of this show?
Let's go.
We're still in Jellicoe, Tennessee, by the way.
Which, so, by the way, we're not. We've done the demographics before, so you need to go back and as Mike said, I said, "Do I need to refresh the demographics?" He said, "No, fuck these assholes."
That's said that.
And he said, and I said, "Don't you think that you're going to get some heat for that?" And he goes, "I'll just threaten to come there and impregnate all their white women."
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Mike did not say that.
Black dick.
Wow, that's really nice, Hopper. What I said was my exact comment was we've been here four times already. Why would we do the demographics again? Because we've been to Jellicoe a bunch, if memory is correct, but who knows. So Dutch and Bob in the intro, Bob Cottle tells us that there are highlights of the Moondogs we're going to see, and holy shit, the Bullet's mask will be on the line as Bullet wrestles Killer Kyle. We got a big match between the Dirty White Boy and Primetime Brian Lee for the Beat the Champ TV title, even though Primetime Brian Lee is the heavyweight champion and Primetime Brian Lee is not happy about the fact that he's going to have to, you know, face the Dirty White Boy, because as Primetime Brian Lee says at the opening, "I don't need the money." I'm not going to play it, but that's what he says. I don't need the money. Doc, any thoughts from that opening?
Dude, this is a stacked show.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. Well,
it's stacked, but it's not the card because nobody's wrestling.
No, nobody's wrestling. Just a bunch of shit talking. So, we go to the first match, and this is great. I've been waiting to do this for like 2 weeks now. Scott and Steve Armstrong versus Larry Santo and our old friend Juicy Johnny. This match is 1:54 bell to bell, and it ends. Get this. With Juicy Johnny getting hit by the Tennessee Torpedo finisher of the Armstrong.
I had that exact note, too.
So, I want to throw it to Hopper first. Hopper, quick match, but any thoughts on Urban Dictionary Juicy Johnny being finished by the Tennessee Torpedo, Urban Dictionary?
It's like one big, like, Urban Dictionary fucking orgy. Just boom, right there.
Okay.
It had everything except the was it the Montana musket loader?
Oh, from a few weeks back.
Yeah.
I wish I had it in front of me. I'd get you to read it again. What was it when you take some
girl's
dip
butthole with dip?
That's yeah, nice. Then you fuck her.
God,
up the ass.
That's gross.
So you loaded her fucking muzzle with fucking Copenhagen. Who the fuck thinks this shit up?
It's like you said. It's like regular sex got boring to people for some reason. It's the same thing as wrestling, where you got the spot monkeys that do flips and shit that don't mean nothing. It's like, why do you have to do that? When did pussy become boring? Okay. Doc, any other thoughts from this match?
Yeah, I had the note about the finisher, but Juicy's little ponytail is terrible too. He needs to work on that.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna be a dirt if you're gonna be a dirtbag with that haircut in 1993. Lean into that shit.
Yeah, might as well just kind of like put your foot into it, right?
Yeah.
Just say hell yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts, Doc? Before we go to the next match.
Uh-uh.
So next up, we got Primetime Brian Lee versus the Dirty White Boy. Now, you heard me say at the beginning of the show that it was less than 10 minutes of bell-to-bell wrestling, and here's why. Dirty White Boy doesn't waste any time at all. White Boy hits the ring on fire. He attacks Brian Lee. Poor Ron Wright is out there loaded up on Somas and Halcyon, so he can't be of much help, or at least we think so, with the Dirty White Boy, who gets busted open rather quickly. Now, let's cut to this shit. Y'all want to say anything before I go to the finish? I figured I'd throw that out there at both of you. So, Harper, anything before I go to the finish?
Let's go.
Let's take it.
Okay. So, at the finish, Tammy gives Primetime Brian Lee what I assume was a coal miner glove, because they don't really say, but that's what it looks like, an oven mitt. Actually, it looks like an oven mitt. Primetime Brian Lee misses when he swings at White Boy. White Boy hits Brian Lee with the Buck Snort Blaster. White Boy goes for the pin, but Tammy comes in and sprays White Boy with something in White Boy's eye, so Mark Curtis calls for the bell. Now, White Boy wins by DQ. Again, this is real quick. All this goes down. With White Boy blinded, Primetime Brian Lee attacks White Boy, but then something happens that I think I need to play the audio from with Ron Wright. So, Doc, any thoughts before I play this audio for what Ron White's about to do?
No, you need to get there, pal. This is the story. This is okay. The headline.
So here it is. Now remember, all this went down. Brian Lee is attacking White Boy. Tammy is in the ring as well.
Well, let me say this. This was a good match leading up into this. These two were getting after it. They were getting after it.
Yeah, it just wasn't long was the point. Like they were
right.
I mean, you can. There's. Let me say this. There's heat here. There's.
Yeah,
these two.
Yeah.
Are, they don't like each other. Yep. All right. So let's play it. Here it is.
White Boy put the Bucksnort Blaster on primetime Brian Lee. Now Lee gets him with that loaded glove.
Wait a minute. Tammy Fritz just rolled right in the ring.
Ron Wright is getting in the ring.
Something right in the eye.
Ron Wright is getting up.
Hey, what in the world is Ron Wright doing in
there? Wait a minute. Oh,
he big right hand. Down goes Wright.
Oh.
A big right hand from Ron Wright to primetime Brian Lee. Now, and Lee came back with a right. Watch, I can't believe it.
Ron Wright is down.
What's Ron Wright doing in the ring?
I don't think he can walk. He couldn't stand.
Look at primetime Brian Lee way up under the ropes. Right down under the knee of Ron Wright.
Right on the knee of Ron Wright. And he's hammering Dirty White Boy with a glove again. And Mr. Wright is out of it.
He's just lying out helpless in the ring. And, hey, Lee's not finished. There's another one to the knee.
Well,
I can't believe he's doing it.
And the White Boy down, Ron Wright down. I cannot believe Ron Wright got out of the chair to help the Dirty White Boy. A big kick by Brian Lee. Now, he lost $1,000, but he is getting even with the Dirty White Boy and telling. Now he's telling, what's he saying, old man, get up, I can't.
Saying something about old man and just kicking now at Ron Wright out in the center of the ring. That's a lot of disrespect. He didn't have any respect for him at all, Dutch.
I don't know. Look at White Boy.
You know, the White Boy, look at him over there with Ron Wright. He looks like he's almost crying over Ron Wright. Ron's been like a father to him, Dutch. No doubt about it. Fans, we're going to be back.
Lot went down, Doc. What'd you have?
The one thing I would have added to this, and it's pretty good and almost perfect as it is, but when Ron was laid out on his tummy in the ring, they should have had Tammy run over there and fish a credit card out of his back pocket.
Yeah.
On the way out.
That would have been, I didn't think of that, but that would have been awesome. You really would have been a fucking heel with that one.
That would have completed the whole shitheel part of this thing. We've drugged him. We've beat him up. And on the way out, we're going to take it. The last thing we're going to take is his credit card.
Yeah.
Dude, you can't tell me. This ain't the first time we've seen it. But when Brother Ron got out of that chair, we all three popped. You know you did.
Yeah.
That shit was like, get him, Ron. Get him. Get the chisel.
And fucking none of them bring that up during commentary.
Well, you don't want to bring up old shit.
That he stood up.
Yeah.
That's true. They didn't really. Well,
they didn't bring any of it. No.
Well, he got out the chair. Remember when he got out the chair to actually help?
Yeah.
Against Smothers.
Y'all got a point with that. That's true. But they didn't bring it up. But this was still great.
But everybody watching this has been along for the ride, that's become a Ron Wright guy, all of us out there, the three of us, the patrons, the army, the Dogaholics, when he stood up, we all were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And that's why being committed to a bit for so long is so great, because when it changes, you're like, it gets a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Did this good, man. They set this up over like 4 to 6 weeks, and... And now this man who was just a heel for this area.
But then he became the poor old man, and now he's had enough, and he's fighting back. He's going to get things straight. God almighty, it's right.
You fucking pushed him to where he got to the point where he fucking has to, you know, do something.
Even a young girl's sweet honey hole is not enough to keep
That's
him.
That's nice.
I can't believe you.
What?
Even Tammy's spell couldn't keep him, right?
Even her ham wallet wasn't enough to make
Okay. Anything
her
else before
ham
we
wallet?
Her ham wallet. Wow. You know what my dad used to say?
Oh no.
My dad
nothing
was, you know,
nothing because he was never around.
No, when I got older, when I got when I got older, me and my dad really weren't close for a very long time. But when I got older, I was talking to him one time. He goes, "Let me tell you something. The power of the taco." He called the vagina the taco. And I was like, what?
The power of the taco. Jesus.
The power of the taco. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, taco, you put beef in a taco shell. He's like, the power of the taco. Like, oh, wow, God. That's real classy of you.
This explains everything about you.
Yeah, okay.
It kind of does.
Like I said, we weren't real close, but he told me that. I think he told me that, I don't even remember. It was shit. I was well into my 30s by that point. So anyway, okay. Maybe I wasn't well into my 30s, but I was in my 30s. So, all right. This was crazy. This was everything you'd expect from Southern Wrestling. They built this thing good, in my opinion. I really enjoyed this, and I think we've made that point at this stage. So Ron Wright is now a sympathetic figure, and God damn it, we cannot believe what they did to this poor old man, and this is some bullshit, if yep. I say so myself. Anyway, so we'll go to the next thing. We got a local promo coming up.
Play it.
Okay, and here it is.
And the Heavenly Bodies coming to Hazard Thanksgiving night, taking on the Bruise Brothers.
You know something about these Bruise Brothers? They remind me of these rednecks up here in eastern Kentucky, up in the hills. They think, oh, I'm my own boss, I'm my own man. You aren't nothing. You people, you're coal miners, you've got a boss, you've got somebody that tells you what to do every day. Whether it's the guy that employs you, or your stinking ugly fat wife, or somebody else. Maybe the cops, maybe your parole officer. Same thing with the Bruise Brothers. They decided they were going to go on making their own matches and talking for themselves, and they weren't going to listen to what Jim Cornette told them. So now they're in a lot of trouble. And right there in Hazard, Kentucky, we're going to show you, Bruise Brothers, just like all the rest of these people in eastern Kentucky, you've got to have a mind to be a leader. And you're stupid. You're ignorant. You're foolish. And Jim Cornette and his heavenly bodies are going to teach you a thing or two about professional wrestling and teach you a thing or two about staying in your place. Because I hate uppity people that don't know their place. So right there, Bruise Brothers, Hazard, Kentucky, the Memorial Gym, Thanksgiving night, everybody talks about turkeys. Well, we're going to carve you up like the biggest turkeys of all time. And then you'll see that the guy with the brains, he rules the world.
All right, Doc, you wanted me to play it. I feel like you got a lot to say about it.
Not a lot. It's just a shoot promo, dude. That's how the world works. He just told him everything that we've been telling him for a year and a half.
Harper, your thoughts?
Don't have any fucking brains.
And here's the real truth. You're the low man on the totem pole. Them jobs ain't coming back. You've been lied to. And Margie, your wife, don't give a shit about you.
That's right.
All you have... And here's the thing. You can get mad at us about this for pointing it out to you, or you can be happy that the only thing you have in your life to keep you from doing the Von Erich thing is to hit the download button and download this show and at least escape your horrible troubles for a couple hours a week.
That's book it, bitch.
There you go.
That's fucked up. But I can't add anything more. I can't add anything more. You know, computers are taking tons of jobs, and here's the thing. He cut this promo in 93, dude. It's worse now.
I mean, yeah, it is.
It's like, can't even be a...
he warned them then, and they didn't listen. Now look at yourself. Maybe you should go back and listen to this.
This is 93, dude. This is 25 years ago he said this. It's worse now, man. It's worse. Yeah, the population is growing.
Let me tell you something. Robots are coming for the rest of your jobs.
Robots are coming for everybody's jobs. Fuck. Yeah.
They ain't getting mine, dude. I'll pull the plug on. I'll pour some lemonade down into their circuit boards. I got plans. I got plans for that shit.
All right. Harper, anything else before we keep going?
No. Let's roll.
So when we come back from that, they go to – it's a during the commercial break, they show us what happened with Ron Wright being tended to. So Ron's out, dude, and – and they have to carry him out the arena. It's a real...
Oh, God. Yeah, that's what I love.
Man, if you got hit with an oven mitt, you'd be out, too.
Well, the whole story they tell... I'm going to play it. Oh, go ahead, Harper. Say what you're going to say, and then I'll play it.
It's... Once again, we see the marvelous Smoky Mountain Wrestling medical staff.
Dude, I said exactly, when is Brian Matthews joining the medical team?
They look like some assholes... that are roadies for like fucking Bullet Boys or something, pulling this fucking old fucker out the goddamn ring.
Okay. So let me play it. Here it is.
They're calling for some medical attention
but
now.
Dutch, Ron Wright, old like he's been, his heart like it's been, in the wheelchair like he's been. Why in the world would primetime Brian Lee do that to a man in the physical condition that Ron Wright is in?
Well, I can't answer that. I cannot answer that question right now, but Ron Wright, of course.
In the ring, he just tapped primetime Brian Lee on the shoulder, turned him around.
Security dragging this old man
right
out.
Hand, yeah, right to the jaw of Brian Lee, and then Lee, and I cut him in on instinct as much as anything else.
Hold on. I'm about to do something while we're recording this, all right? Share screen. Tell me when y'all can see it, and I'm gonna play it, and I'm gonna let Hopper talk about what he's seeing. I won't play the whole thing, but all right, you ready, Hopper?
I can see it.
All right. So we got Dirty White Boy Drake. Look at this shit, Hopper. Go ahead and comment on what you're seeing here,
dude. It's like they couldn't get a fucking stretcher, and they look like. I mean, look at these assholes. This guy's got hair down to his ass. It's like they went to the local bar and be like, hey, we need four assholes for this spot. Okay, yeah, I'll do it.
What do I need to do? It's like being a pallbearer, but not really.
Look at this. Look at this. Whole fucking Ron Wright's holding on to his arm, and then he's like, fuck, 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 fuck.
And they're rolling the chair behind him. Jesus Christ.
Put him in a fucking chair.
Yeah, if you just roll him out.
Yeah, I mean,
he rolled in, roll him back out.
Come on. This ass has got the papers in his back pocket and shit. What the fuck?
I thought that would be fun if I did that. If I did it like that. Jesus Christ. Okay, let's get back to normal. Fucking. I thought that'd be fun if I did it that way. All right, so let's go now to Daryl Van Horn, who's now back out here. Let's hear what Mr. Van Horn has to say.
Fans with me right now, here's Mr. Daryl Van Horn. Our second annual Thanksgiving event is coming up soon, Thanksgiving Thunder, the second annual here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You've been doing a lot of talking about the Egyptian Prince. It's going to be time to put up or shut up soon.
That's right. The entire world knows that my Egyptian Prince is going to make his debut at the second annual Thanksgiving Thunder Tour. But the problem is, I can't find any competition. No one wants to sign on the dotted line. They've heard about his legend. They know that he is the most feared man in Egypt, and no one wants to sign. I can't find any single man to do it. So I want to ask the commissioners of Smoky Mountain Wrestling to do me a favor. Just to be fair, let him make his debut against any two men, any tag team here. It could be the Armstrong Boys. Fine. When he gets done with them, they'll have to go back to their old jobs working as towel boys in a Greenwich Village bathhouse. Or it could be that tag team from around here whose fan base is comprised almost entirely of 12-year-olds with poor eyesight and hairy palms who spend the bulk of their allowance on glue and Grateful Dead tickets. I'm talking about the Rock and Roll Express. Wouldn't that be a hoot? That would be almost as much fun as the time I had dinner with Jeffrey Dahmer. So it doesn't matter to me who it is. When they get in the ring, shut up, Cracker. When they get in the ring with my Egyptian Prince, they are going to fall. He's unlike anything you've ever seen. Screw your wigs on tight and get ready for Thanksgiving Thunder. My Prince makes his debut and changes the face of pro wrestling.
All right, fans, you heard it from Mr. Daryl Van Horn. Right now, let's watch the Moondogs in action.
Mm-hmm. So, do y'all want to comment on what you saw there, or what you heard?
A towel boy, but
in a Greenwich Village bathhouse.
Yeah, what's that mean?
That's an artsy part of New York City where there's a bunch of gay bathhouses, and he's handing out the towels.
Yeah,
right.
That's Mike's dream job.
Right?
Is it?
Yeah, because you're gay.
Wow. Okay, if you say so. Can y'all see my screen?
Yeah, hold on. Van Horn is a force. That's, yeah, I mean, He is just out there. I mean, he is the absolute other end of the spectrum for eloquence. That Horner's on one end, stumbling over every word, and he's just rattling it off.
Dude, he don't blink. It's a runaway train, but it's great. Go ahead, Hopper.
Big Cornette's got to be like, thank God I can fucking take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy can carry the fucking ball.
Yes.
He's incredible. I mean, he's a talker, dude. All right, so they go. Doc and Hopper can see my screen. I'm going to turn the sound down. They go to this footage of the fucking moon dogs, and as y'all are watching it, I don't know, Hopper, what did you think about
what is this from?
This is in Memphis.
Memphis.
Oh, it's Memphis.
Because they talk about Dave Brown.
Yeah.
But dude, they,
Pal, hold on. Get your hands up. No.
Nope. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, second time, but that first time. That would be the theme here is get your hands up.
Wait till they hit him with the wash tub. That's the part that killed me.
Because he didn't hit him with the edge of that shit.
Right. He goes down. There's no question.
Can you describe the two moon dogs, Harper, for the people here?
Yeah, two old, like, kind of white trash looking guys. Fat and kind of.
Used to be bikers till they got too fat to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Beer bellies.
Here comes a wash-up, Hopper.
Oh, he didn't hit that far end. Ouch.
Living a dream, brother.
Brother. Somebody stop the murder on TV. Here's the thing.
I Googled them, and fucking one of them was in demolition at first.
Great. I don't think that's these two.
No. Fuck no.
Yeah, the Moondogs have been around for years and years and years and years, and this is the later day. Like I said, it's like Lance Von Erich. But let me tell you something. These two guys, these two beer belly guys, are not over enough to pull that shit on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go out there and legit hurt people, you better be over and drawing some fucking money.
Okay, Doc.
You kind of got hot when Sullivan took liberties with Jeff Daniels, but I have those two guys just took liberties with those jobbers.
They beat the fuck out of them, dude.
Am I wrong?
They beat the fuck out of those.
Fucking bucket, bro. Jesus Christ.
Wait, that, here's the thing.
Dude,
if you don't get your hands up for a sign, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. But he hit him with that wash tub the wrong way. That shit's fucked up.
Well, that wash tub. Here's the thing about if you've ever been hit with a aluminum garbage can, it's not that bad. I mean, you feel it, but that thing
it's
is
like
made
a
to
big
cave in.
Head. Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of like you're in your head. People don't realize this. Your fucking head is it's built. I don't want to say it's built to take a beating because that's not true, but your fucking skull is pretty goddamn strong to protect your fucking brain. So it's strong. So when that fucking metal can hits it, it just goes in because it's not going to fucking take it. I'm talking about a garbage can. That fucking wash tub, that looked like one of those 1960s or 70s wash tub gimmicks that were like really reinforced steel. That shit ain't going to dent, bruh.
Who gives a shit? I got a cheap one that I bought 5 years ago. I ain't hitting nobody with the edge of it. That's where it's strong.
He fucking blasted that guy.
I'm kind of legit hot about this. I mean, those two guys that they took advantage of probably made $20 for their efforts, and they got legit fucked up.
20? You sure about that?
Okay. Well, see.
All right. Let's try something.
Am I off the mark there to be hot about it?
No. That was pretty insane. And here's a teaser for you. That's not the worst we're going to see from the Moondogs
no.
and Smoky Mountain
shit.
Wrestling.
No.
Well, let's keep going. Let me try something different here. I'm sharing my screen. Let me see how this works out. So we got the Rock and Roll Express. They're about to come and cut a promo. Doc and Harper, tell me, you'll hear it before it'll be like out of sync because of the screen sharing, but at least you can see the promo that I'm playing. So here it is.
All right, fans, with me right now, here they are, Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, the Rock and Roll Express. Hey, Rick, you guys just saw that tape of the Moondogs in action.
Well, let me tell the folks around here something. If they do not know the Moondogs, they certainly will when they come in here to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, because they are a team that don't care. They'll come in the ring and hit you with 2x4s, chairs, bricks. If they can get a car in here, they'll do that and run over you. You see, Smoky Mountain would not even give these guys here a license. Yeah. See, you, this match right here is not even sanctioned. Yeah. But you see, Jimmy Cornette, we're not going to turn this match down. We don't have to wrestle if we don't want to, but we're not going to back down from any team that you throw at us. We don't care, Jimmy Cornette. We are the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, and we're going to stay that way. We will do anything we have to, Jimmy Cornette, to keep you from becoming the WWF World Tag Team Champions and the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions. So you can bake on that. All the dreams that you have been baking on, you're going to see them slowly start fading away, because rock and roll, they're here to stay. All right.
All right. Rock and Roll Express, man. We'll be back right after we take this time out.
Well, I got a feeling y'all are going to be like, let's keep going, because Tammy's tips is up next.
Yeah, she is.
So, let's see.
Dude, doesn't her fucking entrance music sound like the beginning of a Sally Jesse Raphael?
Yes. Yes.
I never thought about it before that, but you are 100% right when you say that. Yeah, I'd have to agree. Any thoughts on the rock and roll before we go to Tammy's tips and the exercise video that we're about to see?
That shirt Ricky was wearing was something. Was that a White Lion shirt?
Yeah. God. That's true, huh? That was his favorite band.
Yeah, because we're deep in this hair metal game, pal.
Yeah, that's you got a good point there. I don't really have anything else.
You have no idea what I just said.
But no, deep in the hair metal game? No, we're not deep in the hair metal game, because that ended in the 80s. We're in the grunge part at this point.
I'm in our show.
Oh.
We can't give that shit up. You're hooked on Rat and Bullet Boys, and Harper's hooked on it. See?
It's funny, because T-Hog94 a couple weeks ago tweeted me. He got in his car, and he's got, like, satellite radio. And as soon as he started his car, guess what was on? Bullet Boys, Smooth Up In You.
Why are you listening to anything where that could even happen?
I mean, he's listening to a band, like, a fucking rock station, and that shit came on. Shit.
No rock station's still playing that shit. Come on.
Dude, have you ever tuned into satellite radio? They play anything and everything so that they don't have to repeat shit.
Okay. I get Apple Music so that I can be my own DJ, pal.
Good for you. You want a fucking cookie? Okay, so let's go to Tammy's tips. How was it when I played that rock and roll promo? Was it like you can hear it but then see what they're saying after?
Mm-hmm. I'm not even watching it. I'm popping pandas, pal.
Okay, well you're going to watch this, aren't you?
Maybe.
Okay, let's go to Tammy's tips. I'll have to stop it when the music kicks on, because YouTube will CC claim the episode if I let it run. So I'll cut it off then, and I'll have to play it. I'm going to play the first 2 minutes and then play like the last part of it. So here is Tammy and Margie. Tammy teaching Marby about exercise.
Some of you men should pay close attention. We'll be learning some exercises that'll give you a slim, sexy body just like mine.
Opera, don't laugh.
That's what you can get from working out every day. I know many of you are, 100, 125 pounds overweight, but if you follow this program closely, you can look normal no matter how obese, gross, and disgusting you may be now. Just look at Margie here. She's just like the rest of you. No exercise, a poor diet. The first thing you must do before you start any exercise program is have a proper diet. You must avoid fried foods, red meat, candy, and especially all fats. So, Margie, what is your diet consist of?
Fried chicken, grits, hamburgers, and greens.
That certainly explains quite a bit. But, ladies, don't worry. If you follow my exercise program, you'll have your husbands looking at you like they look at their old hound dog on the first day of hunting season, as you say here in the hills. Music. Hit the music, you idiot!
Okay, that's Tommy Noe's finger, just by the way. I can't play it because they're playing music, but Harper, describe what you're watching here.
God, that woman just looks so pathetic.
I'm not saying she's missing a whole chromosome, but there's a partial one out there.
Fuck.
Dude, watch when Margie starts exercising. Here you go, Harper.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go, Margie. His shirt's riding up, her freaking boobs are bouncing all over the place.
That, we were just a couple of seconds, inches from a disaster.
There you go. Keep kicking.
Dude, she is built like an offensive lineman.
God. She could probably make like an arena football league offensive lineman right now.
No, she couldn't. Look at her. She can't even move.
Well, look at...
Those offensive linemen are in good shape.
She just fucking sits down.
She went down.
I'm tired. It's fuck you.
Hold on. All right, let me play the rest of it. Here it is.
What are you doing? Get up. You're embarrassing me. Margie. Tune in next week for more of Tammy's tips. I'll make something out of you yet.
Poor Margie just got kicked down the fucking hill. Jesus Christ. You get that much weight moving, it's hard to stop.
That's some Vellify momentum. Gaining momentum. Shit. That's actually, for the record, that's Tommy Noe's backyard. That is legit his backyard. Hopper kind of gave commentary as it went. Hopper, any other thoughts as you watch that and listen to it?
That's fucking awesome. And this is the last one you said, right? There's only
No. This was three. There's four of them. There's one more.
Oh, okay. Well,
why did they stop?
I know, huh?
Well, if you think about it, the fact that there's only four of them makes them more valuable.
Fuck
in my opinion.
Keep going.
Because now it's like there's only four in the history of wrestling. So, oh, man. Okay. So we'll keep moving, unless, Doc, you had anything more. Did you have anything else?
Well, when you put this, her just running down the people in general and being mean to one of their people and what she's been involved with and doing to Smothers and Ron Wright, dude, she is a heel of epic proportions. Yeah. I would imagine. And looking like she does going into these high school gyms, I would imagine that she's drawing some heat.
Yeah, that's a safe bet. Fuck.
Yeah.
That's a safe bet because she's just pissing on everybody at this point.
Well, he's got a big-ass backyard, huh?
Dude, like Doc said, I mean, Tommy's got a freaking fortress compared to most of these people. Right, Doc? Would you say? Would you call it a mansion?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, he's shitting on Tommy.
I assume they filmed this like in a park or something.
That's his backyard, he told me. That is his backyard. They filmed all of these in one day.
Okay, yeah. How can we prove that, though? He could be lying to you. You people in the wrestling business always tell the truth?
I mean, he could be, but whatever. I mean,
Mr. Big Man down in the eastern Tennessee, he and his buddy running the county commissioner. Maybe he's lying to you, Mike.
I think it's time for Tim Horner to come on the show now that he's the county commissioner. All right, we'll keep going. Let's move on now.
Is this next scene in Noe's backyard as well?
No, this is definitely not Noe's backyard. This is, they're calling this a river, but Jesus Christ, I don't know where the hell this is.
Well, yeah, they do, no. But then they also call it a lake. So it's is it a creek? Is it a river? Is it a lake?
It's not
is
a river because the fucking water's not moving.
Right, that's an important, very important point here. That's a stagnant body of water. Is it a tank? You know, that's something that you have there.
And it's obvious they're building a fucking subdivision or something.
Well, let's get to
gentrification.
Yeah, you see?
Let's get to it. So here is Bob Cottle throws us to Chris Candido and Bobby Blaze off-site near a river, as we hear. Here it is.
Let's just remember that Tammy's Tips is a paid advertisement purchased by Tammy Fitch. Enough said. Hey, Dutch, you know, last week Chris Candido won the U.S. Junior Heavyweight title from Bobby Blaze in a great match right here, and he said he was going to throw that belt in the river if he won that championship, and that's what he tried to do. But Blaze got wind of it, and here's what happened. Let's watch it, fans.
Shall we gather at the river? Oh, I told all you idiots, when I won this championship, but I was going to take it and throw it right in the lake, right where it belongs. Because I was shocked, amazed, and disgusted when Smoky Mountain Wrestling refused to recognize my WWA World Heavyweight Championship, but yet agreed to recognize this ugly piece of garbage, a U.S. Junior Heavyweight Championship belt. So now I got it in my possession. And you know, I've beat everybody in professional wrestling. Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Jushin Liger, J.R. Benson. I've beat them all. So now I'm going to take this championship belt along with every other belt that I'm going to win and throw it right in this disgusting river that's not like New Jersey, where we have beautiful things like hypodermic needles and medical waste in our rivers. And then there'll be no other title left to recognize in the world of professional wrestling but my WWA Heavyweight Championship of the World. And you know, I told that coward Bobby Blaze that he can come here today and watch as this piece of garbage sinks to the bottom of this river. And he didn't have enough guts to even show up. So Bobby, hope you're sitting there home watching this. Everybody, this belt is going to sink to the bottom of this disgusting muddy river right now.
Candido, don't! Don't!
What the hell?
Stop it,
guys. Come on. See that hair?
Bobby.
Idiot.
You
son of a bitch. Oh, you son of a bitch.
Bobby. Soaked in that old dirty ass water.
Isn't Candido taking off like a damn roadrunner?
Here comes Bobby.
What
Blaze.
Happened to me a few days ago in that river right there was the most embarrassing, humiliating thing that's ever happened to me in my professional wrestling career. People wonder, Bobby, why do you take so much pride in that U.S. Junior Heavyweight title? Well, someone like Candido takes no pride, but me, that's the first major title that I'd won, the biggest, most prestigious thing I've ever done in my professional wrestling career, and it sickens me to no end. It makes my stomach hurt to see Chris Candido walking around with a belt that has no value to him whatsoever. Embarrassing, humiliating. Candido, I know some people in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I'm going down to them, some promoters, and I'm going to talk to them, and I'm going to try to come up with a way to embarrass and humiliate you the way you did me right over in that river just a few days ago. You take no pride in that belt. I got here just in time last week, a couple days ago, Candido. You was in the process of dumping that title, the one I take so much pride in that river. I don't understand that. It makes me sick. It makes me sick. And the way you embarrassed me and humiliated me, like I said, I'm going to go to the promoters and I'm going to find a way to embarrass you, Candido, more so than you embarrassed me in that river right there.
Doc, thoughts on everything? I mean, we laughed when Bobby got dumped in a muddy-ass sewery river or whatever it was. But, Doc, any other thoughts after that?
Bobby got baptized hillbilly style. He looks like a damn roadie. In that second promo, he looks like a damn roadie for Sawyer Brown. Candido running off away from him was hilarious.
That shit was funny.
I don't know how Bobby's going to embarrass a man who's already worn a baby bonnet and drank from a baby bottle, but whatever. J.R. Benson was a wrestler, but I didn't think he debuted till a couple of years after this, so I'm not sure about that. I'm continued to be entertained by these two guys in the mid-card area. I like it. This is entertaining me. This is fun. And I'm going to say this now because you're sharing your screen. If you play this Mike Furnace promo, I'm going to drive over to your house and kick your ass.
Yeah, fuck this guy. He fucking looks like he woke up off his mama's sofa and like, come on. You got a promo to go shoot. What? Fuck, man.
So that's all I had.
Yeah.
There's with me right now. It's a great pleasure to introduce to all our Smoky Mountain Wrestling
fans. I want Hopper to comment how he looks.
Tennessee athlete Mike Furnace from a great Tennessee athletic family. Doug Furnace, a great Tennessee athlete also and a professional wrestler. And right now Mike has signed a developmental contract with Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So we're looking forward to seeing him in the ring before too much longer. Mike, I know all the fans would like to know a little bit about your athletic background.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say it's good to come back and smell the Smoky Mountain air for a while.
Yeah, man. Right.
Our career got started several years ago, and we started very young. And recently, I've been in Italy.
Mr. I've stayed personality. There for about
the last 9 years, immediately after I left University of Tennessee, and it certainly is good to be back. I love it here.
Well, I tell you, football is your background. You got a
a tremendous background in football, and I know that professional wrestling is something new to you, but you must really be looking forward to it, Mike.
I am looking forward to it. I have certainly spent a lot of time sometimes on the road with my brother, and I recently talked to him, and he said to be sure and tell everyone back in this way hello. And he's encouraged me, and I'm looking forward to starting with Smoky Mountain here with their developmental program, getting into some camps and learning all about the wrestling.
Well, I tell you, we're looking forward to seeing you in that ring. As I say, you've been a great athlete. And I know all of the fans of Tennessee and your family and everybody are tremendously proud of you, and we are too, Doug.
They've always been great people here. I appreciate all the support we've always gotten. And
Wait a minute.
Let me ask a question here. What is this? Is this the football corner or what, huh? Well, orange. All I see right here is orange. That's real nice.
I don't want to take up too much of your time.
No,
it looks
you don't
like
want to take up too much of
my
time.
My goodness,
you're an insomniac's
best friend. Bro. that was a little bit rude, wouldn't you say?
No, he's
I
new.
I mean, just to come in and interrupt some guy like that?
Please don't interrupt while I'm talking. He is just, he's new around here, and he doesn't understand how things work. This is a wrestling program. I personally don't like football, especially University of Tennessee football. So that's the way that goes. Get the heck out of here. It's a wrestling program. Now I want to talk about something that happened last week. I'm talking about those stinking, no good, ungrateful Bruise Brothers. Go to that videotape, show what happened, and then I got a few words for the Bruise Brothers.
All right, fans, watch it right here.
Doc, you wanted me to skip that, but Harper, what about Pritchard and Del Rey right there?
Yeah, they're funny.
Dude, Pritchard said when they kicked Furnas off the set, you're an insomniac's best friend.
I mean,
yeah. I came on. I came unglued when they said that. Doc wanted me to skip it, but I couldn't skip it just based on, like, you know, that little snippet
he
we got.
It looks like he just woke up off the sofa and be like, what?
Jesus.
A promo. You know, I mean, his fucking hair
that?
Looks all shitty.
Yeah.
He looked like he blazed a big fat one and got sent out there.
Yeah.
Well, Cornette saying he doesn't like football is a 100% shoot. He said that before. He can't stand football. Yeah. He don't watch football. That's 100% true. But the part with, you know, y'all could see it because I'm sharing my screen. Del Rey and Pritchard are acting like football players, hitting the Heisman pose as Cornette's talking and just being real stupid and acting like two fucking children, two jackasses.
So here's the thing. So
I thought it was good. Yeah.
Horner was supposed to be the guy running the developmental program. I guarantee he got excited when he saw Furnas because he's like, I won't be the worst promo in the Fed now.
Yeah.
I don't think
what
he said that.
This guy?
I don't think he said that, but okay.
Does he do anything?
Mike Furnas? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, his brother's Doug Furnas. I mean, Doug Furnas was real popular. Did Mike Furnas, do you remember what he did, Doc? I don't.
Nope.
I mean, I don't even want to speculate.
Okay. I don't care after that.
All right, well, let's keep going. So we got Cornette and Heavenly Bodies. This is after the recap of the brawl that happened last week. Corny is going to rip the Bruise Brothers a new one, as expected. Here it is.
All right, there we got a look at it.
Let me explain one thing to you. First of all, I can't wait because it's not too long until the Moondogs will be here. And they're coming to take care of the Rock and Roll Express. We got a lot of things going on in the World Wrestling Federation. And the Moondogs will make sure that we don't have the Rock and Roll hounding us every step
of
the way.
They can't even get a license. They can't even get a sanctioned match
anywhere. But you see where the mistake was made. The Rock and Roll Express are so courageous, they don't want anybody to think they're the chickens that they really are. That they agreed to wrestle the Moondogs even though Smoky Mountain Wrestling wouldn't license them. So now it's going to be their funeral. But let me say something to you, Bruise Brothers. You know something? Let me ask you a question. Do they have school around here? Because if they do, maybe you could go and do your homework. Let me say something to you, Bruise Brothers. You're ungrateful. You're ingrates. I took you out of one of those no-good biker bars down there in Florida. I gave you a job when you didn't have one. I raised you up from nothing to be stars in professional wrestling. And what do? You backstabbed me and you backstabbed the Heavenly Bodies. If you had done your job properly with the Rock and Roll Express, then none of this would ever happen. But let me explain this so that all you rednecks out there can understand what I'm talking about. Like I told the Bruise Brothers, they are labor, I am management. And you know, I can see that none of these people here in Jellico have held an honest job for the past 15 years. But anybody out there that may at one time have been employed, you know that you don't go up to your boss and tell him what's going on. You don't go up to your boss and embarrass him in public. And you certainly do not go up to your boss and say, we couldn't do our job right. So, Bruise Brothers, you have got a lesson in wrestling coming, and you got it coming real quick. You get in the ring with the Heavenly Bodies, and they're going to show you what real top-quality wrestlers are all about. And you'll be back in the unemployment line, back there in that biker bar, back there hanging around with all the rest of that trash, and back on food stamps, just like all these working class, blue-collar people that say, oh, we think the Bruise Brothers did the right thing.
Fans, we'll be back right after this.
Bruise Brothers.
Harper, thoughts?
It's the Bruise Brothers because they're drunks.
You caught that at the end too, huh?
Yeah. He's going to give them a fucking lesson in fucking wrestling.
All right, Doc, what do you think?
Man, Corny's done a great job of just being pissed at everybody, and they got shit going on in the WWF. The Bruise Brothers, the Bullet. Just multi-layered angles here, and shit's popping off. I love it. Good promo.
Yeah,
calling the hillbillies hillbillies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ripped them a new one, and as expected, I liked Del again. You heard Del Rey call them the Booze Brothers, but you see them acting like drunks. Him and Dr. Tom while Corny's cutting the promo. I just thought was good.
Now, yeah, this is fucking Del Rey's probably the biggest drunk out of all of them.
Oh, my God. So I got footage from Tim Moreci from behind the scenes.
Oh, God.
Of there's a – I don't know who shot this footage.
The fan week stuff.
Yeah. Well, this was –
the picnic.
This was – I got footage from one of those picnics with the heels. And I was looking at it last night. And so Corny tells some stories on this stuff. And it's amateur video. But Del Rey is as much of a fucking moron and jackass behind the camera. And he's being filmed, so he's obviously putting on a little performance. But my point is, he's sitting on a park bench drinking a 12-ounce beer with his fucking jean shorts on and his T-shirt tucked into it. And he is every bit of the moron that you would think he would be. It's glorious looking, and it's, dude, Doc, I wanted to tell you this because there are clips in this with, listen to this group sitting next to each other, Del Rey and Bruiser Bedlam. Can you imagine the conversation? Yes. And then Corny comes in there and he's chiming in. It's a train wreck. It's unreal. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out. But yeah, Del Rey he's who he is, you know. Anyway, all right. Hey, I was planning on skipping that next promo with the Bruise Brothers because it's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing.
Okay. We then go to the Bullet versus Killer Kyle. Bullet comes out dancing, and he comes out to the same music as Bullet Bob's music, which I thought was funny. Dutch mentions on commentary that Ron Wright was taken to a local hospital, but right now they don't have a further update on his condition. So we'll have to wait and see how old brother Ron is. Bullet wins with a surprise and a quick roll-up in less than 2 minutes. Doc, any thoughts from this match before we go to the promo?
Quick, fast count on that, too.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Yeah. Harper, anything from you? Anything else?
Fucking Killer Kyle. He got fucked over.
Yeah, he did. He did. Old Killer Kyle. Well, I tell you what. Let's go to the Bullet, who's going to cut a promo after that Killer Kyle match that he just won.
Fans with us right now, the Bullet, and Dutch and I commented. We were certain that Jim Cornette, he was pulling for Killer Kyle up there.
Exactly right. He paid the right price, but he got the wrong stud. Now, he was a big man, but he didn't get the job done. Now, the Thanksgiving Thunder Tour, the second annual Thanksgiving Thunder Tour, everybody's talking about it. Who will it be? Who will I have to face? Well, the four faces of fear, brother, I'm going to count them every one, two, three, four. I don't care how big they are, how bad they are, because I am a crusader. I am a man on a mission, and my good friend Bob Armstrong is going to be commissioner one way or the other. I don't care who it is, where it is, but I know come Thanksgiving, brother, there's going to be a thunderclap heard around the wrestling world. And when it's all over, Cornette, I'm going to be looking you dead in your eye, brother, because I'm still bad to the bone. Yeah.
All right, the Bullet fans, we're going to be back right after we take this brief time out.
All right, Doc, thoughts on Bullet Bob there?
It's all right. I mean, there was nothing. I didn't have a lot from that, so.
Yeah.
I didn't either. I mean, yeah. He did good. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was good. I just, you know, he's guaranteeing he'll win, and he'll be back in that commissioner role. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. And, you know, the funny part about this is you think back to how long ago this shit started with him in his commissioner role. Or you know what I'm saying, the battle for the Smoky Mountain commissioner. This is like 7 months at this point. They're into this thing, Doc.
That's a long time.
They play. It just kills me how back then these angles could go on for forever. And nobody questioned it. And, I mean, we're not questioning it. It's just a slow burn, 1 hour of TV a week. And it is what it is. All right, Harper, do you have anything, or did I already ask you that?
No. Uh-uh.
All right. What about the local promo, Doc? You had thoughts on it?
That's a good one.
It is.
What a dirty white boy.
Yeah, I was going to play it. One. That's why I got it queued up. Okay, well, let's play it. So, local promo with Dirty White Boy. Here it is.
On the line at Thanksgiving Thunder and Hazard, primetime Brian Lee with Tammy Fitch against the Dirty White Boy.
You know, Brian Lee, ever since I've been in professional wrestling, I've done a lot of mean and nasty things. I've took beer bottles and bust them over men's heads. I've took hangman's nooses and I've stretched them up by the ring post. And I've tried to run over a few people. I've done a lot of mean things. But one thing I've never done, primetime, and that was pull an old man, crippled, up out of a wheelchair and try to end it. End it all. Do you realize this man is a living legend? This man I grew up watching. He was my idol. So I tell you what's going to happen on Thanksgiving night, boy. You should have used your head. You understand what I'm saying, prime time? You should have used your head. That's that thing 3 foot above your ass. What's going to happen Thanksgiving night is I'm going to stomp your stinking skull in, and then if that little tramp comes by, I'll bust her right in her mouth. You're going down in Hazard, big boy.
Wow. Doc.
Yeah.
Just no frills, no nonsense. I'm going to kick your ass. What else do you want?
Yeah.
Tough guy promo, and I believe it.
Yeah, I've done some fucking lowdown shit too, but I ain't fucking that goddamn lowdown. You're a piece of shit.
He starts talking, like, he doesn't say it, but the beer bottle that was busted on Horner's head. Uh-huh. He hung Tim Horner. He
did the fucking deuce.
Right, he did all these things to Tim Horner. But you know what? I ain't drugged an old man. That's lowdown right. For me.
And that fucking head that's 3 feet above your fucking ass.
Hey,
and your boys fucking Looney Tunes tie. Jesus Christ, remember them?
Yeah. Okay. I thought this was good, man. This was real good. Dirty White Boy is turning, and you can feel it. And notice, remember last week or 2 weeks ago, he didn't have the Yankees hat on, but he still had the Yankees jersey on. Now he's dropped it all.
Yeah, his attire has changed.
Right. He's back to being from Bucks North, Tennessee. Oh, good stuff. Well, we roll from that right into the final promo of the show, which is Primetime Brian Lee, Tammy, and they're going to be interrupted by the Dirty White Boy. Let's give a listen to this closing promo.
Primetime Brian Lee fans, Tammy Fitch, I can't believe what happened earlier with Mr. Ron Wright. I can't believe you turned on an old man like that.
An old goat, you better believe it. You know, Dirty White Boy, you talk the talk, but you can't walk the walk, baby. You can't step in the ring with Primetime. You're just like the rest of these country boys. You always going to do something. You've always done this. You're always going to kick somebody's butt. But what happens? I left you in a pile of blood with that old goat standing beside you, the old bald-headed, stupid geezer. Where you at now? Where you at, White Boy? Tough guy.
But Brian, darling, there is one thing we're going to miss, and that's Roddy's credit card. I'm just so glad we are rid of that old goat. He was nothing but a newsie, nothing but a pain in my neck.
Whoa, whoa,
with a chair.
Damn.
The Dirty White Boy with a chair. And he cut Brian Lee a complete flip with it as he hit him in the head and sent him reeling. I am amazed that Brian Lee could even get to his feet after such a blow as that.
Brian Lee, you listen and you listen real good, punk. What you and that stinking little to me did to me has been done before, but better. When I looked out there and I seen Ron Wright laying in that ring, it made me sick to my stomach. I'm not coming after you as the New York City white boy. I'm coming after you, Brian Lee, as the Buck Snort Tennessee Dirty White Boy. And I don't care if I got dues are going to be paid, and I'm the man that you got to pay them to.
I'll tell you, fam, you're talking about upset, and I think he got every right to be the Dirty White Boy. His friend, his longtime friend, his longtime manager, Mr. Ron Wright, his condition still unknown at this moment. That's going to wrap it up for this week, fans. Next week, our Smoky Mountain title match. It'll be primetime Brian Lee against Bobby Blaze. We'll have our Beat the Champ match, much, much more, all right here next week. And until then, so long for now.
He popped him when he said he was from Bucksnort.
That's right, baby.
That was some pretty incredible shit to be frank.
Out of the condo and back in the school bus.
That's right. He's back in Bucksnort. Fuck these people, man. I mean, you know, fuck that New York shit. That's how you do it right there.
Yeah, he stole the fucking show, bro.
Shit. That's how you.
Mm-hmm. It's they like went off air Tracy. So
good. Yeah, bro. This was
move
good.
Over Tracy.
This was real, real good. Harper, what else did you have from this?
He's fucking taking over. He's stealing the fucking show.
He had enough. His manager, his mentor was drugged and treated badly. He ain't having it no more. I'm not cutting. That line he cut when he said he wanted primetime Brian Lee dead, and he ain't coming after Brian Lee as the New York Dirty White Boy, but as the Bucksnort Tennessee Dirty White Boy. Those 300 people in that small building went fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. Doc, what did you have?
It was awesome, dude.
Yeah.
God, it was so good. That was just excellent. I gotta put that over. That's a great one of the great promos from Smoky Mountain right there. All right. Well, we need to do disability checks at this point. I want to remind you we are 17 five-star reviews away on Apple Podcasts from the Broad Logic episode, the BTT Broad. So if you can kindly give us a five-star review, we definitely would appreciate it. So thank you very much. And then don't forget to check out the Hard Body Harper t-shirts, the Docaholic t-shirts, the Book in the Territory t-shirts at Pro Wrestling Tees and on our Tee Public store. If you just look in the show notes, show description, the links are all there. But if you need to get to them otherwise, just go to Facebook.com/bookintheterritory. Click shop now. That'll bring you to the Pro Wrestling Tees store. It's an easy way to get there. So, all right, disability checks. I went first last week. Doc, you go first this week.
Man, it's just getting to be like a broken record. These angles are hot. The shit's fire. They're on a roll. I like this week better than last week.
Me too.
Give me a 9.2.
Okay. So I'm going to one up you there. I'm going 9.3.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This shit was full of greatness, and I'll talk about that in the government cheese in a second. Harper, what are you giving it?
9.5, man.
You got fucking
Margie doing jumping jacks with her titties bouncing around, fucking rolling down a goddamn hill. Then you got Dirty White Boy stealing a fucking show. So, yeah, fucking 9.5.
This was glorious, dude. This whole thing was good. Let's do the government cheese now. Remember, before we forget, use our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Great way to support the show without spending anything extra. Get Bobby Blaze's book there, Pin Me, Pay Me, or anything else you can buy on Amazon. Give it to your wives and girlfriends and tell them to use it. Tell them to bookmark it. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Government cheese time. I'm going to go first. And these things kind of go hand in hand, so this is a little weird. Because we saw what happened to Ron. But then we also see Dirty White Boy's promo. So I don't know how you separate the two, because the promo is caused by what happens to Ron Wright, where Dirty White Boy kind of says he's no longer a New Yorker. So Doc likes to give me shit for kind of combining things, but they happen in two different spots on the show. But I really think like two segments can get it, if that makes sense. It's hard to separate them. So that's my deal. Doc, what do you think? Can you make an exception this time? I mean, those two moments are hand in hand. They just happen to be separated by 30 minutes.
Shut up. Every rule has an exception, and this is the week. So I'm giving the government cheese to Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy, because they're getting back together. And when they get back together, they need to split this piece of cheese, because they were on it this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Dirty White Boy, that promo at the end just solidified it.
The promo at the end, Ron got out of his chair. He did I won't say a stretcher job. He did a dumbass medical team job. But he did a Bullet Boy roadies job.
Yeah.
But those two were fantastic. And again, it's on a show where you had Tammy's Tips, Candido, and Blaze out at the lake. Mike Furness cutting his great promo. just all kinds of people are doing all kinds of good and special things here. But man, we've been following the trials and tribulations of the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright for a year and a half now, almost two. And they're getting, I just see a reunion. I'm happy. I was worried. I'm worried about Ron. I hope he's okay at the medical facility in Jellicoe. But as long as he pulls through that, I think everything's going to be okay.
He got heel Ron Wright, got out the chair, you know, to help White Boy beat Smothers as a heel a couple months back, probably back 4 or 5 months ago. So it kind of, we can kind of gloss over that. No, now he got out the chairs for the first time as babyface Ron Wright.
Yeah, but the thing is, when he got out the chair the first time, he just kind of stood up.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. No. Remember when he ran? Oh, you're talking about the time when he was trying to help Hector from hanging himself?
No, there was that, too.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
No.
Yeah. Oh, forgot about that, too.
No,
he didn't get in the ring and throw hands, though, like he did this week.
Right. Stood up.
He got ring and...
Go ahead, Harper.
I mean, he fucking got in there and fucking stood up and rolled in a ring and fucking went there to fucking start swinging. So, I mean, this trumps the other times. I think is it twice prior?
No, okay, yeah. So let me help. Yeah, twice prior. The first time was like episode 20. Hector hung himself, or Dirty White Boy hung Hector, and I really think, I wish Ron Wright was alive. I really think Ron Wright was worried about Hector actually hanging himself, and that's why he kind of stood up with the help of the ring to try to get the attention of Dirty White Boy. The second time was when he beat Smothers. Now, when he runs into the ring, not into the ring, when he gets out the wheelchair, if you remember, he actually ran to the ring apron, Smothers with the belt. And if you remember, Doc, when we did that show, when he sits back in the chair, he almost flips himself over.
Yeah.
Because he has so much momentum. So, yeah, you're right, Harper. This is the first time he gets in the ring and decides to throw some haymakers and throw some hands.
Well, didn't he get up in the very beginning to help
with
out
Hector?
One of the Russians?
No.
No?
He handed him something.
Oh, he was in the chair. Okay. He was in the chair at the ring at ringside. God, right. We're really going back to old Smoky Mountain, right?
Like episode 4.
Dude, you know what would be good, and this is off topic, not to redo it with all the episodes. Like when we get done with Smoky Mountain, let me hit play on like some of those old episodes and not even play the sound and just comment on what's happening. And we just start joking about, look at Ron Wright out there handing the Russian the gimmick. I think that would be fun to do one or two.
Remember, I told you guys we're going to have to fight to get through the first few months.
Yeah, and then when you get through it, it's like, shit.
Here we are.
Yeah. But no, Harper, you're right. He's gotten out before. This was the first time he got into the ring, though. I mean, he just rolled into that ring and started mixing it up with Primetime, too. Good stuff, though. A hell of an episode. We were all above a 9, all above 9.2. So we got 9.2, 9.3, 9.5 across the board. Really, really good shit. some just solidness. So that's that. All right, before we get out of here, please follow us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper's at CJHWhoDat. Don't forget about the 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. And I want to thank Brian Malonis from ROH, Mike Crockett. Thanks for plugging us each and every week on your show. Check out the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing that they do. Just search Wrestling Podcast About Nothing or WPAN, wherever you get your podcast from. Doc, got anything before we get out of here?
Let's go, shit.
Hopper, yeah. You?
Let's roll.
All right, Hopper, hit the tagline, man.
Fuck it, bitch.